You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Ann McNulty, Executive Director of Care Chest. Ann, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. We are very happy to be here. Thank you.
So what exactly is Care Chest?
Yes, Care Chest is a Nevada nonprofit. We've been in the state of Nevada for 35 years. This is our 35th anniversary. We have been down in the southern region of the state for 5 years. And so we're very excited to expand our services in southern Nevada and provide our free medical resources to folks. We do durable medical equipment, medical nutrition, diabetic testing supplies, prescription assistance, and some other programs as well. So all of these are for folks that are low income and they have to meet 138% of the federal poverty level. But we're getting so busy down in Southern Nevada with these services, and so we're excited to share more through your site.
Okay, so what types of medical equipment do you have?
We have all kinds of different pieces of medical equipment, from hospital beds, those are probably the biggest pieces of equipment we have, down to simple things like canes and crutches, you know, walkers, wheelchairs, bedside commodes, transfer shower benches. We have pretty much any kind of durable medical equipment piece you might need. We have the knee scooters for folks as well. And so, you know, if someone is requiring something more specific, you know, like an electric wheelchair or a scooter, things like that, we also have some of those in our warehouse as well. We have a specialized program just for those power operated vehicles like scooters and wheelchairs. So even the fancy stuff we have.
Nice. Okay. So besides the income requirements, are there age criteria to access the medical equipment?
No, we serve all ages from, you know, children, babies, all the way up to seniors. So we don't have an age requirement. We do have the income guideline, and then we only serve people that are residents of the state of Nevada. So we want to make sure that they are residing in Nevada for our services. If someone was over our income guideline, then what we do is we look at their expenses and we try to break those down to try and get as many people to qualify as possible. And so if we can break down your expenses and you have less than $200 a month left over, then we can also get you qualified.
So how does it work? They borrow the equipment while they need it and then return it later?
Exactly. So a lot of the items that we have in our warehouse are donations from the community. You have a very giving community in Southern Nevada, and they have donated their, you know, gently used walkers and wheelchairs and other items. And so we make sure those are in good working condition. We sanitize those, and then we loan those back out. Some folks are only borrowing equipment, you know, for short periods of time. Maybe they're having a hip surgery or knee surgery, and they only need them, you know, the items for like 6 weeks. But other folks kind of have a longer duration, like ongoing loans through us. And so that's something, you know, either one works. It doesn't have to have a specific time frame attached to it.
Okay. How does the mobile outreach program work?
Sure. So what we found is that it's a lot easier to meet people's needs directly where they are residing or at locations where they're going. And so we've partnered with a lot of community agencies to bring our services to different parts of the community. Also, Las Vegas obviously is a giant metro area, and it's difficult to get to our office for some people. And so by bringing our supplies and equipment to these locations every month, then it makes it a lot easier for the people that we're trying to serve. And so we have 9 different locations in the southern region, and we're expanding those. We're going to be adding by the end of the year another 3 or 4 locations. And so, you know, total across the state, we're over 40 locations. And so that's something that we know works. We've done it up here in the north since 2019, and we've expanded to all of the rural communities in the north. And so that's something that we'd like to do for the southern half of the state as well.
Okay. What are some examples of the locations that you go to?
We have, let's see here, we have some in the North Las Vegas area. We also have Henderson. We serve like some rural communities as well.
Are they generally done through other nonprofit locations?
Some of them are like food pantry outreach sites where people are getting food at a location. that kind of thing. On our website, we have a lot of different locations highlighted under outreach locations. And so, we serve Moapa Valley. We do go to Mesquite. We also go to Pahrump. And then in the Vegas area specifically, we have our Henderson location, which is it's at the New Beginnings pantry distribution. We have another one at New Beginnings in northern Las Vegas. And so you can go to our website to outreach locations, and you'll see this interactive map, and it tells you exactly where we are, the day of the month that we're always there. Like, let's say the second Wednesday of every month, we'll be at the New Beginnings location on Cheyenne Avenue, and it gives you the time, 1 p.m. And so it's a really easy map for people to use so that they can find us and find what's close to them. These are locations that we come to monthly. And then we have our main office as well over on West Post Road where folks can get supplies and equipment at any time.
Okay, that's awesome. So, what are your independent living and care loans?
Our independent living program and care loan program are separate from these other programs that I've been talking about. The independent living program is a statewide program as well, as is the care loan program. And what we do is we're working with folks that have a disability that would like to maintain their independence in their home. And they determine what kinds of goals they would like to work on. Let's say they would like to have access in and out of their home, so they'd like a ramp built. Or maybe they would like to be able to cook in their wheelchair in their kitchen, so they need, their countertops raised and their doors widened. In their bathroom, they'd like to be able to take a shower. We have some people that aren't able to take a regular shower and haven't for years. And so by installing like a roll-in shower bay, that kind of thing, they're higher, bigger projects for people. We also do a lot of modified vehicles with independent living and care loan program. They tend to work hand in hand together because for like a modified vehicle, as you know, vehicles are very expensive. And so let's say the vehicle is, $40,000. Well, the independent living program will kick in a $12,000 grant towards that cost. And then we work with our care loan program, which is an in-house loan program, basically. If we're loaning someone under $15,000, then we do it within our in-house system at a 1% rate. If we're loaning over $15,000, then we have a community partner that partners with us. Her rate is slightly higher, the Bank of America prime rate, but we have a lot of folks that work with the independent living program and the care loan program together to get some of these home modifications and vehicle modifications done so that they can maintain their independence and not be in some type of setting like a nursing home.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned donations. What types of donations do you accept?
Well, of course, we always take monetary donations, but our program was founded 35 years ago by the concept of, reuse and recycle. And so we take donations of gently used durable medical equipment, all types. We also take donations of medical supplies, things like unopened packages of pull-ups or bed pads, incontinence pads, diabetic testing supplies. We also take donations of like colostomy supplies and catheters, anything, that are medical supplies like that, we're able to take in and then loan back out. The only thing that we aren't able to do is oxygen. We do not take in used concentrators or CPAPs or anything like that. But all of the other types of medical equipment and supplies, those are items that we are able to accept gladly as a donation.
Nice. Okay. And what sorts of volunteer opportunities do you have?
We love our volunteers. They are amazing for us because, they are giving of their heart and their time. They come in and they work in our warehouse. They work with us on our outreach locations. They also work in the office. So it really depends on what that person is interested in doing. We also have some events at times where we need volunteers. We currently don't have one to talk about today, but there's a lot of different opportunities. So if someone was interested in volunteering and maybe they'd like to just meet us at an outreach location and help with, distribution in an outreach location, that would be fantastic. Or maybe they want to come tinker on, wheelchairs and make sure they're in good working order. Or, it just kind of depends on what the individual likes to do. And so we meet with them, we give them a tour and determine with them, what sounds good for them in their time that they're giving.
Okay, that's great. So you mentioned that information is on the website. Where can listeners find out more about Care Chest, apply for services if they need them, or sign up as a volunteer?
Yes, carechest.org. Carechest.org is our website. You can apply online. You can also apply by calling either of our offices. The easiest probably way for you to apply, though, is online. We have an application link directly in our website. It's very prominent, apply for assistance right on our website, and you can just go in there and complete the application. It's very easy. But, a lot of folks do call in and do applications over the phone. We do have paper applications we can mail you as well or give to you at one of our locations.
All right, that's fantastic. So once again, the website for Care Chest is carechest.org, carechest.org. You can find out more about what Care Chest does in the community. If you're in need of medical equipment or you want to have modifications to your home or vehicle, you can apply for services. You can also sign up as a volunteer or, of course, make a donation, monetary or medical equipment. And all of the information is right there at carechest.org. And we've been speaking today with Anne McNulty, Executive Director of Care Chest. And Anne, I really appreciate you being here and letting us know more about this organization. It sounds like you're doing fantastic work in the community, and probably not a lot of people have heard of it. So I'm really glad you're here sharing your message and spreading the word about what you do. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you getting the word out about us.
Ever lose your keys? Is that normal aging, dementia, or something else? Fear often stops us from asking for a simple checkup from the neck up. Knowing your numbers, blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol are common, but your cognitive numbers are also important. Request our free guide. It's filled with tips for better brain health, facts about dementia, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Your brain will thank you.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Fox Dietrich, VP of Marcom for Miracle Flights, and Becky Davila, mother of their 2025 child ambassador, Asher. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Fox, for those who aren't familiar, what is Miracle Flights?
Yes, and thank you so much for having us. Miracle Flights is basically an organization. We have been here in Las Vegas since 1985. Our mission is to provide free commercial flights to children and their families who need life-changing and sometimes life-saving medical care not available in their local communities. So far, we have provided about 160,000 free flights. We book about 700 flights a month. And as I've noted, we are based here in Las Vegas. We are actually the first national nonprofit headquartered here, and we're celebrating 40 years. That means 40 years of hope and miracles.
That's fantastic. So 700 flights a month is a lot. Mm-hmm. What sorts of medical needs do you typically book flights for?
We book flights for anybody who kind of falls under the prerequisites. So we basically book patients who are 17 years of age or younger and their family members. We usually book about two of their parents, legal guardians, or caregivers at no cost and as often as they need within the continental United States.
Okay. And why are these medical services not available here?
Yes, so there are a lot of rare diseases that are being treated in places where there's facilities. So a really good example is we have a lot of patients, for instance, who are not just based in Las Vegas, who are based in Texas or Florida, and they need medical treatments in facilities in Boston or Philadelphia or New York City. And, we provide the service of flying them there. Our mission is really to alleviate the financial burden on families. And Becky and Asher are one of those, stories that really proves our mission.
Yeah. So Becky, tell us more about your and Asher's story, including your experience with Miracle Flights.
Okay, so Asher was a micro preemie. He was born at 24 and a half weeks, weighing at just 1 pound 3 ounces. So we had a pretty extensive NICU stay. He was in the NICU for about 4.5 months. He developed something called necrotizing enterocolitis, and this happened twice. So it's a bowel infection that causes parts of your bowels to die and then perforate, so holes in the intestines. And so he required several emergency surgeries when he was just under 2 pounds. And he ended up coming home from the NICU with an ileostomy, so one of the little bags that you poop in. And after being home from the NICU for 6 weeks, there was an emergency situation that happened where his intestines perforated again. So he required more emergency surgeries to fix his bowels. So we were admitted to Sunrise Hospital here in Las Vegas, and they had to intubate him for those surgeries. Well, those intubations, they had a hard time getting the tube into his airway. So they didn't feel comfortable taking the tube out without an ENT specialist who specialized in airways to evaluate his airway before removing the breathing tube. So they life-flighted us out of state to Utah, where they have an ENT specialist who specializes in airway disorders. Because unfortunately, here in Las Vegas, we don't have a pediatric ENT that does specialize in airways. And so they determined that there was damage to his airway. His airway was nearly completely closed, about 99% closure of his airway. So if they would have removed that breathing tube, he would have not survived. So he ended up getting an emergency tracheostomy. And so that was back when he was around 8 months old, so about fall of 2023. And it was at that time that we learned that he was going to need airway reconstruction surgery. So I did what every warrior mom does, and I started doing my research, and I wanted to find the best airway specialist to do the surgery for him because it was really scary thinking of them cutting open his throat and taking rib graft and placing it in his airway. So I wanted to make sure that we went to the best of the best, especially since we have to travel. There's no one here locally that was able to do it for us. So that's when I found a wonderful doctor out in Boston who specializes in airway reconstruction surgery. But at that time, we didn't think it would be feasible for our family to afford to travel back and forth to Boston for initial consultations, follow-up consultations, and for a lengthy procedure that was going to require a 2-week-long hospital stay. So fortunately, my husband's employer, they work closely with Miracle Flights because they're here locally, and they told us about there was this option of this local nonprofit who can provide commercial flights for families needing to seek medical care outside their community. So that was kind of like the first glimmer of hope for us that we would be able to go see this airway surgeon out in Boston. Up until that point, it was really stressful on our family trying to figure out how are we going to make this work between the cost of the flights and all the travel expenses. So that was kind of the first real big hope that we had that we were going to be able to get out to Boston. So I went on to Miracle Flights website, miracleflights.org. I filled out, they have a form on there. They make the process really simple and easy for families. You just fill out this form. You need to provide proof of a medical appointment. And then within about 1 or 2 days, they'll reach out to you to schedule the flights if you qualify. And so in July of last year, we flew to Boston for the first time and we had our first initial consultation with the surgeon. He said Asher was going to be a great candidate for the surgery. So in September, Miracle Flights provided us flights a second time for both my husband and I, and for Asher, which was also such a huge blessing that they not only provide it for one parent, but for two caregivers. Because if you're a parent of a child with a medically complex child, most likely you're going to be traveling with a bunch of medical equipment, and it can be really stressful. So being able to include my husband and have him there with us, and have those flights provided for all three of us was such a huge blessing for us. So last September, we went and had the full airway reconstruction done in Boston. It was a 6-hour-long procedure. They took rib graft from his rib cage and then they placed it into his airway. And they kept him inpatient for almost 2 weeks. And then we flew home And the surgeon that was out in Boston transferred our care to one of his colleagues in San Diego, which was a lot closer for us to follow up. So we followed up in San Diego in October, and unfortunately, his airway ended up closing almost completely again, which was really disappointing for us. So he ended up needing several, they call it airway dilations, where we bring him out to San Diego, they put a balloon in his airway and they blow it up or inflate it to stretch out his airway. So this doctor that we saw in San Diego wanted to do these serial dilations where we would travel pretty much monthly over several months to have this procedure done to see if we can stretch the airway open far enough to where we wouldn't have to do another big airway reconstruction surgery. So from last October up until this April, I think we were flying down to San Diego about once a month to have this procedure done. So again, that would not have been possible without Miracle Flight stepping in and providing those flights for us, just because of the tremendous financial expense and sacrifice that, you know, is required for parents to do these procedures. So the treatments were successful, and my son actually got his tracheostomy removed about a month ago. So Miracle Flights, again, provided us flights to fly down to San Diego, and this was a huge milestone for our family to finally get his tracheostomy out. So now the kind of the next steps, because everyone always asks, what are the next steps for Asher now that his trache is out? So during all of those procedures, somewhere along the line, Asher's vocal cords got damaged. So he's actually completely mute, even more so than nonverbal. Like, you don't hear any crying, you don't hear laughing, you don't hear any noises come from Asher. So our hope is in the future that there's going to be treatment options available for him to have his vocal cords repaired. So we'll definitely continue to utilize Miracle Flights for his follow-up appointments and to pursue future treatments for us. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Wow, that's such a lot for a little guy and his parents to go through. What does it mean for Asher to be the 2025 Child Ambassador for Miracle Flights?
Oh, it's been a huge honor, just a really cool experience for our family, because not only have we been able to share his story, we've been able to share hope with so many other families who don't know that organizations like Miracle Flights exist and that there is options available for you to seek care outside of your community, whether you don't have that specialist available to you, or maybe you just need to get a second opinion. So to be a part of something that's so impactful for so many families has been just a really huge honor for our family.
That's fantastic. Fox, how do you choose the child ambassador each year?
Oh, well, we don't really have a criteria per se, but we look into the thousands of children that we serve, and we look at what stories would resonate with the general public, with our donors, with our partners. And, you know, Becky and Asher's story really resonated with us. You know, Asher is our second ambassador, actually, and he is our very first one that is, as Becky has noted, not just nonverbal, but mute. And that actually really resonates with the general public, because my job, for instance, as, you know, as a person in communications and marketing, I'm not just marketing or communications, I'm a storyteller. And to give a voice to the voiceless and to really go out there and share Becky and Asher's story is something that doesn't just resonate with me, but it resonates with every single donor and partner that we have.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Fox, I know Miracle Flights has a lot of great local fundraising events. Mm-hmm. What are some of the projects and events that you have throughout the year?
Oh, we actually, so Soiree is actually our biggest tentpole event and fundraiser of the year. It's actually when we honored Asher as our child ambassador. And that usually happens every March. It is our spring event. And throughout the year, we have a couple of other tentpoles. In fact, we have Lights for Flights, which is an event that happens in downtown Summerlin. And this usually happens around November. And then we also have another tentpole event called Wine Flights, which is somewhat connected to Lights for Flights. And a lot of these events, we use these events to not just engage with our families, but to engage with our supporters and do community outreach with our partners. And we also do a lot of community events. In fact, we just did an event a couple of weeks ago with Metro, where Brian, Asher's father, works at. So we do a lot of community work because we want our mission to resonate with every single person out there. We want people to know that there is hope. Hope and miracles are alive. And this is why 2025 is also a very important year for us, because it's 40 years. It's 40 years of coming together, 40 years of letting every family know that there is access to hope, healing, and a brighter future, and of course, miracles.
Yeah, definitely. So Becky did mention the website, but once again, where can listeners find out more about Miracle Flights, apply for services if they need them, or get involved as a volunteer or make a donation?
Absolutely. So you could go to miracleflights.org. If you are a parent, a family member, or a caregiver, you could go to a little button that says request a flight, where you will see our eligibility requirements. And just to summarize it, you must be 17 years of age or younger. You must be able to travel safely on commercial flights. You must have a scheduled medical appointment. Your application must be submitted at least 14 days before the departure date, and you must meet our financial guidelines. And if you are a donor or supporter, there are ways, many ways out there where you could contribute and take part in Miracle Flights' mission, including donating and volunteering at our various community and engagement events, and of course, our tentpole events, which includes Soiree, Lights for Flights, and Wine for Flights.
Nice. Okay. So once again, the website is miracleflights.org, miracleflights.org. You can find out more about what Miracle Flights does in the community, apply for services, which are flights if you and your family need them, or you can get involved as a volunteer, make a donation, check out the events that are coming up. They have incredible fundraising events every few months, as Fox has mentioned. It's all right there at miracleflights.org. And we've been speaking today with Fox Dietrich, VP of Marcom for Miracle Flights, and Becky Davila, mother of their 2025 Child Ambassador, Asher. And I really appreciate you both being here. Becky, for sharing your heartfelt story. It's amazing to hear what Asher has gone through and come out on the other side. You know, it was a really heartfelt story that you shared. And Fox, for letting us know more about Miracle Flights and the services that you offer for children like Asher and families like the Davilas. So thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us and allowing us the opportunity to share our story with you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Heather, and thank you so much for sharing the mission of Miracle Flights.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. Jackie M. Bowen, President of the American Optometric Association Board of Trustees. As the kids get ready for another school year, it's a good idea for their back-to-school checklist to include a comprehensive eye exam. Dr. Bowen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me, Heather.
So what is the American Optometric Association?
The AOA is a professional organization of optometrists. We represent over 50,000 doctors, students of optometry, and staff whose primary aim is to ensure that Americans have lifetime healthy vision.
Nice. Okay. Why should an eye exam be included on parents' back-to-school checklists?
Well, the biggest reason is that 80% of learning is through vision. You can imagine as you watch a child develop how important it is that they receive input from their environment constantly as they're learning and developing. If that fails, if there is an interruption in the visual patterns and the learning behaviors, that can affect lifelong learning and performance. Vision screenings are very helpful, and we're thankful that that is available, but vision screenings identify about 4% of what needs to be tested. A comprehensive eye exam with an optometrist identifies 100% of what needs to be tested to ensure that adults and children perform well in school, in sports, in careers, and social interactions.
Okay. What are some of the additional things that are required through a comprehensive eye exam as opposed to just a screening?
I like to tell my patients that the exam is somewhat about what they can see and a lot about what they can't see, the future of the vision. The eye is very good at covering up problems, and the eye and brain work together to help you succeed no matter what your situation. So if you wait until there's an eye problem or you're identifying a problem in your child, it's very likely that it's been going on for a long time and may have already impacted their ability to function. It's really disappointing when we see school-age children who have problems that have already impacted their learning development. And this could have been caught, years before.
What sorts of issues do go unnoticed without having regular eye exams?
Well, it's way beyond do you need glasses or not. We test the visual function and the ability to focus near and far, to move around in space. The eye is also the only place in the body we can look directly at blood vessels and nerves. And there are over 270 diseases of the body that can be detected in the eye. Some are certainly more common, like diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, than others. But all that information is part of the medical care and the medical routine that persons should be aware of as they age.
Okay. And how do some of those undiagnosed eye problems potentially affect a child's learning?
A frequent occurrence is when one eye sees differently than the other. And a child won't identify that because they don't know that anybody else has the same problem. So if you have one eye that works well, the brain's only going to work as hard to use that eye and kind of ignore the other eye. So that sets up a situation where the common term is lazy eye. It may look just fine from the outside, but on the inside, it's not receiving the information. And as a child gets older, beyond 6 to 12 months of age, that decreased input can cause that eye to be permanently damaged so that it will not function as well as the other. As you can imagine, that impacts depth perception, binocularity. Those are important skills not only in learning, but in athletics and sports and participation in social interactions. Eye disease certainly is very, very quiet. Most sight-threatening conditions are not going to hurt you or cause noticeable vision loss until they're pretty advanced. A lot of damage can take place way before a person knows about it. So you have one pair of eyes that have to last your entire lifetime. There are no replacements and there are no transplants. So early detection of problems and fixing those problems is extremely important for lifelong success.
Yeah. So what is the AOA's recommended frequency of eye exams for children?
Based on science and based on evidence, we know that a lot of the critical learning received through the eyes happens in infancy. So an optometrist should assess a child's vision between 6 and 12 months of age. And that's surprising, I think, to a lot of parents. But there's a lot of information we can gather without the child saying a word. Then between age 2 and 5, prior to starting school, a child should have a comprehensive exam with an optometrist. And starting in the school years, every year an exam is recommended, especially with the influx of screen time. Whether it's handheld or a desktop or looking at a smart board in the classroom, the eyes have much more demand on them than they used to because you have to function differently from a visual standpoint when you're looking at a screen than looking at a book. So it's more important than ever before that that annual exam occurs.
Okay. What are some tips for parents to help protect their children's eye health in between those visits?
So I always talk about UV protection. Sunglasses outside are extremely important. I don't think the color or the darkness is a big issue. A child can choose a pair of sunglasses that they like, as long as it has good UVA and UVB protection. When a child's using a screen, limit that time. I think instinctively, we recognize that's not good for the eyes or the body to sit still and stare at a screen for a long period of time. So we recommend adhering to the 20-20-20 rule. That makes it easy to remember that every 20 minutes, a child should look 20 feet away or more for 20 seconds or more. If you're holding up a weight with your arms for 20 minutes, they need to take a relax break and shake out a little bit. So that 20-20-20 rule allows the eyes to do that and relax. It's very important also for parents to encourage outside play. Kick your kids outside for a couple hours a day. I know that sometimes weather conditions and your location make that difficult, but we know, again, from good research that that outside play helps to prevent advancement of eye conditions, particularly nearsightedness or myopia. The more near work you do, the more the brain is going to adapt the eyes to up close. So myopia is a global epidemic that we are addressing fiercely. And we know that screens has exacerbated that problem.
All right, great tips. Where can we go to learn more?
We make it easy for you. If you go to aoa.org/I deserve more, that's EYE, deserve more. You will find an easy to navigate list to find an optometrist very near you. And that site also has a lot of tips in addition to what I've talked about to help protect your eyes and protect your child's eyes and vision.
All right. Awesome. So once again, that website is aoa.org/I deserve more. That's I spelled E-Y-E. AOA stands for American Optometric Association. aoa.org/I deserve more. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Jackie M. Bowen, president of the American Optometric Association Board of Trustees. And Dr. Bowen, I really appreciate you being here, sharing these important tips, your valuable insight, helping us keep our kids' eye health safe throughout the year. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me, Heather.
Every child deserves good vision to be able to read, learn, or kick a ball. Each day a child can't see, they fall behind. Together we can change that. Eye care for kids is the solution. In the past 21 years, we've helped over 500,000 underserved children with vision screenings, exams, and eyeglasses. Your contribution today can provide the gift of sight for a child tomorrow in Las Vegas. Donate now at eyecare4kids.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Mickey Wilson, PTA Connected Ambassador for the National PTA. Parenting in the digital age can be complex, and we face a lot of important decisions about our kids' technology use and digital safety. Mickey, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Heather.
So what is PTA Connected?
So PTA Connected is an initiative, right? And we work with collaborators to create programs that really educate, empower, and engage families in helping them establish and model healthy online safety habits and behaviors for their children. So in this role, I get to talk to a lot of people, parents and youth included, about their online experiences so that we can tackle this topic all together.
Okay. And what's the correlation to the National PTA?
Well, with the National PTA, they host these programs. So these programs are completely accessible through their website, through the organization, so that PTAs and really any parents and caregivers have access to resources and tools that help them not only start the conversation in their school community at home around digital wellness, digital citizenship, online safety, but then also really be able to figure out what does this look like for me inside of my home, right? We found that there's no one size fits all approach to topics like device use, screen readiness, and all of that too. So the National PTA works with supporters, collaborators to design these programs so that they can really meet families where they're at, so that they can know how to use social media more safely, how to navigate the online more safely, but really start the conversation around what does digital parenting look like in this era?
Okay. What are some of the free programs, tools, and resources available?
So three that I really love that hit different milestones or different ages and stages is one is called the Smart Talk. We do that in collaboration with Norton. And the Smart Talk is a free tool that parents and caregivers can use to sit down with their child or children and start the conversation around what do the guidelines and the boundaries look like around device use at home and healthy technology habits. And the really cool thing about that tool is families walk away with a digital contract that they can come back and revisit if anyone in the household breaks the rules. But the thing I love about that particular tool is it allows children to be part of the conversation, and that empowers them to actually follow the rules versus being told what to do. Another program that addresses the screen readiness topic that parents often circle around is Ready Tech Go. And this is a collaboration with AT&T. And this program allows families and caregivers to have peer-to-peer discussions and kind of navigate these challenges and these difficult topics around, you know, when is my child ready for digital device use and things like that. But they get to be in a space where they can talk to their peers and again, realize that there's no one size fits all solution. And it really helps them feel not alone in tackling, you know, again, this big topic of digital parenting. And one final program that I really love, and I see lots of parents and adults everywhere love this too, is we love to take into consideration the teen voice, right? And really hear what the youth have to say. So we have a Create with Kindness program that we do in collaboration with TikTok. And the focus of that program brings a panel of parents together along with a panel of teens. And they answer a series of questions. And it really shows that we are looking at this topic of online safety from different perspectives, but also complementary perspectives. We learn a lot of how the teens are using their tech and their devices for educational and social uses. And we hear the fears that parents have at the same time. But by having this conversation and meeting each other at the table, some really productive things come out of it. Like, again, what are the parental controls we can use? Oh, it's not so doom and gloom on the side of what kids are doing. And then kids are very transparent about what they're seeing from their side as well, too. So those are just a few of the programs that really get the conversation going, that educate and empower parents, and then also allow you to take the conversation from the school community back into your own home.
All right, that's fantastic. So you brought up a good question there. How do we know when a child is ready for a digital device?
Oh, this one's a tough one, because do we ever really know when is the question. But what we believe at PTA is that we believe that parents know what's best for their children, and that every family is going to approach device use differently. So the best way to know is really start the conversation with your child, educate yourself and learn about all the different resources available, whether it is safety features on devices and apps, whether it is, we have an approach called talk, try, teach, right? We hear about gaming and social media app use a lot too. But it's talking with your children about the apps and the games or technology, trying it with them, and then also teaching them how to use security and privacy settings too. So we haven't pinpointed the right exact time. There is no one size fits all approach we've learned when it comes to all the different families, but a great way to navigate readiness is really by having an open and honest conversation with your child and then setting some guidelines and boundaries that make everybody feel safe.
Yeah, of course, the digital device is one thing, that's the hardware. But beyond the devices themselves, what sorts of conversations should we have with our kids about social media and the internet that they can access through that device?
Yeah, I would say ask them how they're, I always go with like the basic, you know, questions that we learned. I think asking them why they want to use certain apps or even certain games, right? The why behind that, is it coming from their friends? Is it something they're very curious about? If they're already using it, how are they using it, right? What is their experience? How are they using it to be connected and for belongingness. We find that a lot of, particularly teens, right? They're using it to research hobbies they're interested in or look at colleges and things like that. As we scale down a little bit, it really is about belonging, right? And making sure that you feel connected to your peer groups too. So I would say, ask the hard questions, the how, the why, and that I think helps inform maybe the when, and again, learning more about the actual apps than what we see at face value.
Yeah, great advice. How can local PTAs get involved with PTA Connected?
They can. I would encourage local PTAs to visit pta.org/connected to access all of our resources. Our programs, tools, resources are completely free. You can download them and start using them today.
Okay. And can parents access that site on their own as well without going through their local PTA?
Absolutely. It's available to parents, caregivers. You do not have to be part of the PTA. You can be part of the PTA. We want everybody to have access to these tools, programs, and resources.
Awesome. All right. So once again, that website is pta.org/connected. pta.org/connected takes you directly to the PTA Connected program, and you'll see lots of the tools and resources that we've been talking about today. Plenty of tips there to get your kids ready to have digital devices and access the internet. And we've been speaking today with Mickey Wilson, PTA Connected Ambassador for the National PTA. And Mickey, I really appreciate you being here. These are some important topics that we need to talk about, and it sounds like some great tools and resources that PTA Connected has put together. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much for having me, Heather. Glad to share.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Amanda Pendleton, home trends expert for Zillow. Summer is the busiest season for residential rentals, and this year the search is more competitive than ever. Zillow has 4 tips for renters to save money and time. Amanda, thank you so much for being here today.
It's great to be here.
So why are rentals in such demand during the summer season and this year more than ever?
You know, this is the busy time of year for the rentals market. This is when a lot of college students are looking for a new place. A lot of people are looking to strike out on their own, maybe move out of mom and dad's basement. It just happens to be the time where we see a lot more activity in the rental market. More listings are coming online and more renters are out there looking for a new place to live.
Okay. What are your tips for renters in the summer season?
So the first tip is to search smarter. The most affordable rentals are flying off the market in a matter of days. And so speed really is going to give you a competitive advantage here. You can take advantage of digital tools, and you should do that. So things like move-in date filters, pet-friendly toggles, 3D tours, interactive floor plans, these can help you narrow down your options online so you're touring fewer properties in person and you're better ready to jump when the right one does come along.
And what's your next tip?
Yeah, so you really want to understand the full costs of renting. Pet fees, security deposits, amenity fees, they all add up. Well, now on Zillow Rentals, we're unhiding all of those hidden fees. You can now get a full breakdown of those monthly costs plus upfront costs and any additional charges. And you can customize it too. So let's say you've got a cat, you've got a dog, but you don't have a car. You just check all those boxes and you see what your monthly rent total is going to be. We're really excited. This is one of 5 tools that we just unveiled last week. And we're going to bring it to every single listing on Zillow Rentals.
That's awesome. Are those fees, the pet fees, the security fees, and so on, are those negotiable?
You know, they certainly are. In a competitive rental market, you don't have a lot of leverage to negotiate on the rent itself, but you can ask for concessions. So yeah, that means some wiggle room on the pet fees, on the parking fees. Maybe you can ask for a month of free rent. In fact, 42% of all rental listings in Las Vegas are offering some type of concession. So this is a reasonable ask.
Okay. And what about application fees? Is there a way to save there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the typical application fee nationally is $50. Most renters are submitting at least two of them. Zillow's got a universal application. It's $35. You can apply to as many eligible properties as you'd like over a 30-day period. So it saves you a bit of money and also saves you time. You only have to fill out one application.
That's pretty cool. Now, what constitutes an eligible property for that?
So these are certain properties on Zillow Rentals. It is a significant share of properties. Of course, it changes from month to month with availability, but certainly something to explore if you're looking to save a little bit of money on those application fees.
Yeah, for sure. What other tips do you think renters should know before they start their search?
So I think when you're negotiating or you're looking to try to get a deal on rent, you got to bring something to the table, right? So maybe you're offering to sign a 2-year or a 3-year lease. That could help with rent and you can avoid those annual rent price increases that tend to happen. Or maybe it's even signing a 15-month lease instead of a 12-month lease so that your lease is expiring and you're re-entering the rental market in October or November, not in the really competitive summer months. A couple things to think about when you're heading into the rental market and looking to negotiate.
Okay. And I know a lot of us, when we're looking at a new property, have these non-negotiable things that it has to have. For example, someone might think, oh, it has to be on the ground floor, or it has to have granite counters or whatever. How flexible should we be with those things in order to get a better deal on a rental?
You know what? In the past, I would have said that you should be extremely flexible, but the market is changing. You know, what we're seeing in the rental market, yes, we're in the busiest rental season of the year, but seasonality aside, renters do have more bargaining power. They've got more options than they've had in years. And that's because there's more rental inventory out there. There's been a lot of new construction in this space. A lot of new apartments are opening up. And a lot of homeowners who may be trying to sell their homes or thinking about selling their homes are now looking at the for sale market and deciding they're going to rent their properties instead. So we just have a lot more rental inventory out there. And that's suppressing rent price growth. You know, rents in the Las Vegas metro are only going up 0.6% over the course of the year, which is extremely slow compared to what we've seen in the past few years.
Nice. Okay. So basically the idea is shop around, compare options in advance using digital tools, and negotiate where you can.
Absolutely.
All right. Where can people go to learn more?
So if you want some more rental tips, we have a rental resource center, zillow.com/learn/renting. And of course, if you're in the market for a new rental, Zillow Rentals is the number one most visited rentals network.
Okay. And how do we get to Zillow Rentals? Is it zillowrentals.com?
You just go to Zillow and you just click the rent button at the top.
Nice. Okay. So once again, Zillow.com, of course, is the website for Zillow, Z-I-L-L-O-W, Zillow.com. And if you want to find out more tips about how to get the best deal on rentals during the summer or whenever you happen to be looking, Zillow.com/learn/renting lays out some of the tips we've been talking about today. And we've been speaking with Amanda Pendleton, home trends expert for Zillow. And Amanda, I really appreciate you being here, sharing these tips, sharing what the current status of rentals is across the nation and in Las Vegas specifically. Definitely some helpful tips for rentals this summer. And I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Catholic Charities of Southern Nevada is holding a new home raffle supporting Meals on Wheels of Southern Nevada through next Thursday, July 31st. You could win a new townhome or a cash prize while helping feed local seniors. Get the details or buy your raffle tickets at VegasNewHomeRaffle.com. That's VegasNewHomeRaffle.com. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, August 4th at 8 p.m. benefiting Las Vegas Elite Boxing, and Monday, August 18th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Seed Program. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Nevada Donor Network's hosting their 2025 Inspire Hope Dinner and Show Fundraising Gala on Saturday, August 9th, starting at 5 p.m. at Hakkasan Nightclub in the MGM Grand. Find out more or get your tickets at nvdonor.org. That's nvdonor.org. Equilora is holding their summer fashion show and charity gala featuring models and performers with physical and intellectual disabilities on Thursday, August 14th, with showcase at 4 p.m. and gala at 7 p.m. Get your tickets or find out more at equilora.org. That's E-Q-U-I-L-O-R-A, equilora.org. The Free Nevada Nonprofit Awareness Day event is happening on Sunday, August 17th from 2 to 5 p.m. at Bill and Lily Heinrich YMCA, 4141 Meadows Lane. Connect with local nonprofits, discover their services and resources, and enjoy the free family-friendly entertainment, giveaways, and raffle prizes. Find out more or register to attend at winningforacause.com. That's the number 4, winningforacause.com. And the Las Vegas Rescue Mission's holding their annual bottled water drive through August 31st. When the summer is hot, vulnerable community members experiencing homelessness need water more than ever. You can drop off bottled water donations at the Las Vegas Rescue Mission security gate 24/7. Find out more at vegasrescue.org. That's vegasrescue.org.